Welcome back to the Friends of Bacanti podcast. Got Brad Mell and Chris Walker. So this is another episode in our series looking at Chris's recent trip out to Bacanti and the results of taking out all those computers out there. This one, however, is a little bit more of a look forwards. It's what needs to happen now. And, you know, I guess what's going to happen for Friends of Bacanti going into next year and I guess our aims for next year. As we've said, all those computers have gone out there, 10 for each school, so 20 in total, brings in that IT teacher that we wanted. But one thing that is the issue is power. So just tell us a little bit about the problems that we're facing.
Yeah, the power is the principal thing to begin with. The solar power system that's there at the secondary school in particular is now getting quite old and worn out. We did replace the batteries for them a while ago, so the batteries are still good, but the power is not coming into them sufficiently to fire up all 10 that we've just given them. So one of the options is to try and raise money to get some new solar system installed. The other thing is the school teachers' houses got connected to ZESA, the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority, but it's not connected to the school. And there's an electrician in the area who says he can do the work on that and connect the ZESA supply to the school, but that will cost $500 US. And that will then provide power to the school during the day. And then the solar power will be just as a backup should things go wrong.
Which that seems the most, I guess, effective way of getting this solved in the short term, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think the solar power system will cost a fair bit more than $500. Yeah.
So there's obviously the power issues, as we've just said there. But one other thing to consider is that obviously the schools have got these equipment. The IT teacher's coming down. As you said, the schools qualify for an IT teacher now, and it means that they can put IT on the curriculum. But as a result of that, you're going to need lessons to be, I guess, curriculum standard, which I think is going to require a level of internet access, isn't it, and Wi-Fi connectivity. Yeah. And I think that's another issue, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, this is true of both the schools. The primary school have got like a dish set up already, but what they can't afford at the moment is the monthly ongoing payments and the connection in the first place. So they've got some of the equipment, but it's not connected yet. At the secondary school, there's nothing. So there are two real options here. One is getting a local provider, internet provider, to provide, and that will be like via satellite, I think, because of the nature of where they are. So there'll be like a setup fee and a monthly fee. The setup fee will not be that big. The monthly fee will be whatever it is, $900 a month or something like that. The alternative to that, apparently, is Starlink, which is Elon Musk's thing. And apparently the connecting fee is higher, but the monthly bills are much lower, maybe half of what they get. So I've asked them to look at, give us some figures, work it out and see how much it actually is to do one or the other and compare and over time, which is cheaper, which is better for them. The other thing I asked them was, would it actually be possible to set one thing up sort of in between the two schools? Or would the Wi-Fi be too weak to reach either then? But if there's some way of doing that and boosting the signal, that might be better overall.
Obviously, this charity will continue to do what it does and support in any way we can. I'm thinking that now that they do qualify for a teacher and IT on the curriculum, has that opened up potential other revenue streams from that side of things? Is there governing bodies or anything like that that the schools can apply to in Africa to get funding towards this type of thing?
I guess there must be something like that. I mean, I did hear some time ago, I don't know if it still happens, but there was some support available through Bill Gates's stuff, Microsoft things. I don't know what the situation there is. That might be worth looking into. Or whether, given the nature of these schools, whether they can get an even further discount for either for the local provider or through Starlink. I don't know. It's, again, something else to look into.
So from your point of view then, now you're sitting here planning next year, the power is obviously, I guess, the primary issue now, where it was getting IT equipment out there. I guess there's always more to do, but in a sense that has been done. It's now making the best of that equipment. So when you're looking ahead to next year, what are you thinking is, I guess, the objectives, and how do we go about doing that, and what are your thoughts?
Well, the first thing is with the power, then at least we can use the software that's been put on there and they can learn how to use. What we've got is Open Office, which is a free equivalent to Microsoft Office.
Okay.
And I believe that the things are compatible with them. So if you're sending a document to somebody else with Open Office, if they've got Microsoft Word at the other end, they should be able to open it without any trouble, and vice versa as well.
Yeah.
So at least they can learn the basics of using computers, the Word stuff, the PowerPoints, the, you know, all the other things that you get on those systems. So that's good in the meantime. But ultimately, internet will be the second big thing, and the sooner we can get that, the more they can learn, and the quicker they can learn so many more things.
So as a result of that, obviously, it goes back to sort of what we say often, I think, you know, towards the end of a year is, I guess, more fundraising events. But I guess it's specifically targeted now, isn't it? It's not just a general thing. Yeah. There will be figures that we need to hit now, isn't there?
Yeah. Like I said, we would definitely, the ZESA supply at $500 for the secondary school would be like the first target.
Yeah.
And then as I get more information from the two schools about the Wi-Fi stuff, we can set another target from there, really.
So when we're looking ahead then, as we just said, we need more fundraising events, which I'm sure we will do. We can put a lot of those on. How else do you envisage this money being raised?
Well, I mean, I do like the idea of various events and stuff. So if people can come up with ideas of what kind of things we might do, so anybody who's been involved with us before, be nice to hear from you to come up with ideas. Also, we'd like to get some more donors and sponsors on board. So whether it's donors of computers or sponsors of events, or just people who want advertising on the site, who will be prepared to give us money towards our aims of electricity and Wi-Fi.
And if you listen to this, a way of doing that and a way of supporting this can just be as simple as putting us in touch with somebody. You know, obviously, as you've heard over the last couple of episodes, Sarah just sort of found the stall and said, oh, my company's got something that we might be able to do. Mm. And it all stemmed from there, didn't it? And that's all it would take, is just, I guess, being put in touch with one person, or, you know, some company that's got some equipment that's not used, or maybe there's some funds that they're able to spread across, you know, charitable organizations, something like that. If you're sat thinking, oh yeah, actually maybe they might do something, send us an email, send them an email, because the worst comes to it, they just say no. It's worth a shot.
I mean, I'm also thinking that our friends at the football club, members of the board who we know, is there a way we can, like, hire one of their rooms as a venue for an event or two, a discounted price or something? Would they be willing to sponsor us in some way, or any of their sponsors, would they be interested in getting involved? So we need to be approaching them as well, really.
Absolutely. And I think one other thing that we looked at about, it must be about 2 years ago now, I think, and we got some way into the process, but then other things came up and didn't quite happen, and that was gaining official charity status, which is not easy, as I'm sure you can imagine. But I think it's worth returning to that, I think, because we got quite far in.
But I think also, I think some of the rules have changed on it as well, so we need to go back and have a proper delve, because the benefits of the charity status is that it unlocks certain funding that's available to organizations like ours with the kind of work that we're interested in doing. There are companies and organizations and people who are benefactors to that kind of thing. It's just a matter, but you can only do it once you've got the charity status.
Yeah, so lots to be thinking about and looking forward. And as we just said there, if you feel like you can help in any way, it doesn't necessarily have to be financial. As we said, it can be as simple as putting us in touch with somebody who might be part of an organisation that might be able to help down the line. You know, this, it all helps. But yeah, thank you very much for listening to this. I'm sure the blog will continue to be updated. We'll do more of these episodes as and when things come up and developments happen. But yeah, thank you for listening to this. We'll see you next time.